Hi, this is Hannah Schrieffer and Melissa Craig, and you're listening to Rise Up Radio.
Michaela Reed is a 25-year-old radical cartoonist whose work appears in many alternative newspapers such as the Boston Phoenix, Bay Windows, and Minnesota Women's Press, etc. She comes from a political family and has been using her computer and her sketchbook to let people know what's on her mind since she was 15. Some of her favorite topics: GLBT rights, racism, and the incompetence of the Bush administration.
Michaela has a new book coming out called Good News. She's joining us in the studio today to tell us about her book and the world of cartooning. Michaela, thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
What made you choose this career path, and how did you get into cartooning?
Well, like I said, like you mentioned, I come from a very political family. When I was a kid, my grandfather started giving me copies of The Nation in these times and various liberal publications. And my dad would rant about Reagan and all sorts of things. And so I've always been very political, and I've always been into art. But it really wasn't. And I did some political cartoons in high school for my school paper. I was the editor, and I did, which is a great way, you know, for students to get involved. And in college, I did a few political cartoons, but I wasn't really thinking of it as a career. I was going to go into photography. But then I really started cartooning in earnest after 9/11. After 9/11 happened, the political climate in this country seemed to go completely insane. I felt like normally very smart liberal people were all of a sudden calling for the bombing of Afghanistan and all sorts of crazy propositions, and they thought everybody was a terrorist. And I'd always been a huge fan of political cartoons, people like Tom Tomorrow, Ted Rall, Alison Bechdel. And I was like, well, what gets attention? What's going to get noticed? And I just started drawing cartoons for my college newspaper, the Harvard Crimson. And I got so much amazing feedback. I mean, I'd written, you know, articles before, but you don't get the same kind of response to articles that you get to cartoons. There's something about those pictures and words. People just get mad, and it's funny too, which is also a way of I think sometimes humor and sarcasm and satire are sort of an easier way of getting at a political issue. And they're also, it's easy to read. The first thing people read oftentimes when they look at a paper is the cartoons. So it kind of sneaks up on you. You know, you look, oh, it's a pretty picture, it's cute, it's fun. And then it's like this, you know, very serious or very smart rant about the evils that George W. Bush is doing. So I just started, and then, you know, while I was still in college, actually, I submitted my cartoons to the Boston Phoenix, and I got picked up. And I started actually getting paid for it. So it wasn't intentional. It just kind of happened to me. And then I started thinking about it. So I've just been getting into more and more newspapers, magazines like Ms. Magazine, Girlfriends Magazine, and just trying to expand as I go. But it was almost accidental, but not quite.
So what exactly do you think it was about 9/11 that changed people's perspective so much?
Well, I mean, people felt scared. People were terrified. I think, and when you're scared, sometimes you're not quite as intelligent or reasonable as you might normally be. I mean, people, after 9/11, people suddenly thought, Bush hadn't been doing that well in the polls. I mean, he wasn't that popular for president. But suddenly, everyone thought he was like this hero. What had he done? He had sat there and read, My Pet Goat and made a few little speeches, and suddenly he's a hero because we're being attacked, so we have to rally behind the president, and no dissent. And some newspapers, for example, canceled the Boondocks cartoon, which is, you know, a great radical cartoon, and because he was criticizing Bush's response to 9/11. It's just this total climate of fear and clamping down on free speech.
So do you think if it's a topic that people get so upset over, it's important to sort of make light of it? And
well, I don't think what cartoonists necessarily do is make light of it. I wouldn't call political cartooning making light. I mean, a lot of political cartoons aren't funny at all. They're very depressing. I did a cartoon about, about the murder of a young transgender woman, Gwen Arojo. It was a hate crime murder. She was killed for being trans. When a couple of boys found out that she was transgender, they killed her. I mean, that's not a funny cartoon at all, but that cartoon I've gotten more responses to, I felt has had more effect than a couple of the funnier cartoons I do. I mean, it's always like this bittersweet thing. You want to mix your rage and facts with humor. For example, a couple weeks ago, I did a cartoon called Your Yucky Body, a repair manual. It was basically a cartoon about, you know, the beauty industry and how they subsist on telling women they're completely hideous and ugly and need to fix themselves. And if they spend lots and lots of money, maybe they'll get slightly less ugly. So I had all these sort of exciting new surgeries that you could get. For example, you can get your toes removed to fit into pointy-toed shoes and have, like, a permanent high heel on your foot. Or you can just get your belly removed completely, like, just remove all your intestines and you'll be much more attractive. So it's funny, but it's kind of, it's still sick and unhappy. It's always a fine line. Sometimes I do cartoons and, you know, it's just depressing. It's not funny at all.
We actually viewed that cartoon that you were discussing just then. And we were wondering if you've ever been censored before. Has anyone ever told you, like, stop, you can't be writing about this? Or,
well, the alternative press is like a whole different ballgame. And pretty much I've never had any censorship from, I mean, publications like the Boston Phoenix, the Metro Times in Detroit, you know, Girlfriends Magazine, they're not worried about offending mainstream American, you know, readers. I know a lot of cartoonists who cartoon for more mainstream publications, you know, big daily newspapers, and they face a constant battle with censorship every day. I mean, there are editors who say, I knew a cartoonist whose editor told him flat out, you are not allowed to draw any anti-Bush cartoons at all. None. And he's was a left-wing progressive, and he just felt like, you know, his hands were tied when he was drawing. He could draw sort of funny cartoons about, you know, Martha Stewart in jail, but he couldn't draw anything serious or real because his paper had an editorial policy that way. So the editorial press gives you more, the alternative press gives you more freedom. Of course, you know, it's not as lucrative as having a full-time staff job at a daily newspaper, but, you know, you make trade-offs.
So can you tell us about your new book that you're publishing called Good News?
Well, it's not exactly a book. It's more of a booklet. Every year although my main thing is doing the weekly cartoons that appear, I just like to collect them every year or so into books, and I go to conventions and I sell them. So if people go to my website, mikaela.net, which www.mikaela.net, you can buy copies of the booklet and I'll have them signed and sketched. But it's more just a collection of my work in the past year, and I've been doing that every year for a while.
There's one more thing I wanted to ask you. In a recent interview, you mentioned that you served as the president of your high school's Straight and Gay Alliance. What was that like for you, and how do you feel about the problems with homophobia in high schools, like, at our current time?
Yeah, you know, it occurred to me the other day that I've been out of high school for almost 10 years, which is just so crazy. Like, but anyway, yeah, I was president of my high school's Gay Straight Alliance starting my, I guess it was, maybe it was my junior or senior year, I can't remember. But that actually had a lot to do with why I became a political cartoonist. My hometown of, I'm from Lowell, Massachusetts, which is a pretty, you know, it's a pretty reasonable sized city, 100,000 people. And not the most closed-minded place in the world. You know, they talk a lot of talk about multiculturalism and diversity. But you know what? When you have a lot of, you know, gay, bisexual kids in high school, like, they're just getting beat up. I mean, it was I get very upset about these things. Yeah, so I was president of Gay Straight Alliance, and it was a struggle just to even get kids to come to the meetings because they thought they'd get beat up. We put up posters, they get torn down. I wrote an editorial in my school paper about homophobia, and I got people, and someone wrote a counter editorial, you know, completely saying that it was a, you know, it was just a very homophobic counter editorial, and that actually caused me to respond with a cartoon. I did a cartoon editorial. And that actually got so many more responses than my original editorial, and people told me they had cried when they read it. I mean, but it's a daily struggle. I mean, I don't think most people have any idea of what it's like to be a queer kid in high school and the kind of daily harassment. You don't want to go to school, you get kicked, you get beat up, you get, I mean, pushed into your locker. I don't want to use the phrases people called me because, I don't think they can be said on the radio, but I got called some pretty nasty things on a daily basis. And the Gay Straight Alliances are so important. I mean, Massachusetts actually has a program, the Safe Schools program, that has Gay Straight Alliances. But, of course, homophobic right-wing groups, I've been trying to get that canceled for years. And, you know, they don't want to teach homosexuality. They don't want to brainwash kids into homosexuality or something. Yeah, sometimes I would just go home and cry. I was afraid to go to school. It was pretty ridiculous. But, I mean, I have no idea how things have changed now. I'm assuming in most of the country it's still pretty horrific. I mean, you have schools in this country teaching ex-gay views in school that being gay is some disease that you can cure and should cure. So I'm sure in most of the country it hasn't gotten any better. And, in fact, probably my experience was pretty mild and not too bad at all.
So in your quick guide to becoming an angry cartoonist for teens, do you mention anything about that topic? Or?
Well, no. I wrote a little thing that's on my website somewhere. I should probably make it more prominent, called Mikhail's Quick Guide to Becoming an Angry Cartoonist, because I feel like, especially young women, there should really take a look at political cartooning. I mean, cartooning as a whole is a white male field. It is a white straight male field. I mean, I go to cartooning conventions and there's like, you know, three women. Hardly any women make a living off of cartooning. There are only one woman ever, two women have won the Pulitzer for editorial cartooning. You know, it's a pretty sparse, and most people are in cartooning are white as well. So I wanted to encourage young women to go into cartooning. So I just wrote sort of some tips, like, you know, keep a sketchbook, think about what makes you angry. I think the problem, again, there's a difference between mainstream editorial cartooning and alternative cartooning. A lot of mainstream editorial cartoons are very sort of safe because, again, their editors are telling them, don't draw anything dangerous. We don't want to have angry people calling up and saying they're going to cancel their newspaper subscriptions because you said that Bush was a mass murderer. We can't have that. I think really good cartooning is about passion and anger and also being very well informed. So I just sort of encourage people to think about topics that make them angry in their own lives and sort of start small. But I don't know if I specifically mentioned, I probably would have mentioned that. I mean, if you get beat up, that's a pretty good topic for a cartoon, I'd say.
So why do you think that there's so few women in the political cartoon field?
You know, that's a really good question. People talk about it a lot. I don't have a huge number of explanations. One might just be that it's been a male-dominated field for a long time, so there aren't a lot of role models. Another is women are kind of encouraged to keep quiet and to sort of be polite and not be... I mean, when you're a political cartoonist, you have to be really aggressive and angry. You can't be nice to people. You can't hold back and be diplomatic. You have to be direct and angry. And, you know, I think... But there's also issues of access and money. I mean, a lot of... Women political cartoonists do go into cartooning, and then they don't get encouraged, they don't get paid, no one picks up their strips, and they quit because they can't make a living. It's a lot of factors, but I think, you know, I obviously encourage all young women to think about political cartooning, even though it's a pretty small field. It's really rewarding, and you just need to be unafraid about expressing your views. It's your right.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking the time out to speak to us, Mikhaila. We really appreciated it.
Oh, thank you so much.
And listeners, if you want more information about Mikhaila and her work, you can visit her website, as she mentioned, at www.mikhaila.net. Thank you very much.
Thank you.